As noted in Ephesians 1-3, it reveals the eternal plan and purposes of God for His church. The entire first half of the letter of Ephesians is centered on our identity as the spiritual children of God by grace through faith in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Then from chapter 4, Paul transitions to our behavior because of our new identity in Christ. In other words, Paul continues to highlight the fact that as Christians, there has been a transformation. For we used to be outside of Christ, but thanks be to God, through Jesus, we are now in Christ. And the reality of that transformation should have an impact on the way we live our lives. So the Christian life is based on doctrine and modified behaviors with a proper understanding of the one who has called us out of darkness into light. It is being born again into new life. And then it is living our daily lives out of the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, His power and direction. The Spirit-filled life then is to live and walk in love, in light, and in wisdom. From our text read this morning, we should consider the third way, which is participated in walking in wisdom. Please note that there is a great difference between intelligence and wisdom. Cook shared of an undergraduate survey of the New Testament class in an American seminary was a favorite class because there was no homework, no reading, no tests before the final exam. On the finals, for 25 years, the same professor had always presented the same question. Describe the missionary journeys of Paul. There was a young man, let's call him Johnny, who took the course. And his tutor helped him to prepare all seminar long for the final exam. When the final exam came, Johnny was ready. He knew everything there was to know about Paul's various missionary trips. Everything about Timothy, Barnabas, and Luke. He was just ready. But when the final exam paper was passed out, students all over the auditorium were stunned to see a new question. For the first time in 25 years, the professor decided to ask a different question. Instead of the question about Paul's missionary journeys, he asked, critique the Sermon on the Mount that was preached by Jesus. Now, after the first sermon at 8:30, John Marshall actually told me that the root word in Greek of critique means challenge. Now, the shockwave was felt across the room. A young man got up, took his empty exam booklet, and tossed it down on the professor's desk. He didn't know how to answer the question. And one by one, all the students left. None of them were able to answer the question, except for Johnny. He opened his exam booklet and began to write. He wrote and wrote and wrote for the full 3 hours. Johnny filled up his exam booklet. That afternoon, only Johnny's exam booklet passed with a bold A+. What in the world did you write? Asked a classmate. Read it, said Johnny. On the first page was his opening sentence. Who am I to challenge Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount? Instead, let me tell you about the missionary journeys of Paul. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the difference between intelligence and wisdom. When we think about biblical wisdom, we often turn to the wisdom literature of the Bible, such as Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon. But Paul also has few things to say about wisdom. So walking in wisdom, the wise walk is diligent. It is also disciplined, that is seizing every possible opportunity. The wise walk is directed, walking in the will of God. And it is also dynamic, being filled to the fullness with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at each one of these in turn. First, the wise walk is diligent. In verse 15, it says, look carefully how you walk. Every Christmas, we read about Herod's instructions to the wise men. Go and search diligently for the child. Matthew 2:8. Diligent is the word we need to examine our lives thoroughly. In essence, Paul is saying, open your eyes and look around. And Paul's instruction is to choose the wise way over the foolish way. Proverbs 15:21 says, a man of understanding walks straight ahead. This means that being careful instead of careless, being thoughtful instead of thoughtless, and being attentive instead of arrogant. We are told to survey our own daily lives and to make sure that we don't look foolish. So the wise walk is diligent. Second, the wise walk is disciplined. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Paul is referring to our individual lifetime. Psalm 90:10 says, the years of our lives are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, and we fly away. I don't want to risk losing any of those years due to foolish choices or foolish living. It is the reason why we long to influence our children and grandchildren, because we see just how quickly our lives are over. The purpose of this passage is to understand the privilege we have to be alive, so that we might really, sorry, that's the second one, so that we might really get on with spending our energy, investments, and talents in things that have eternal and worthy significance. Why? Because the days are evil. If we are careful and wise with the individual time that makes up our lifetime, then we are likely to end up engaging with friends and family, investing in other people, serving other people, and encouraging other people. The wise walk is disciplined. Third, the wise walk is directed. The walk is not random. It is not by chance or blind. It is a directed walk. We know which way to walk by understanding the will of the Lord. The will of God is found in God's word. From there, through prayer, counsel, and other means, God fills in the details. The first step is always delighting ourselves in the Lord. And in response, He gives us the desire of our heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. Our delight in the Lord is an invitation from Him to reveal His will to us. I think some Christians try to find out what God's will is so that they can decide whether or not to do it. That is not how it works. If you want to know the will of God, then let me just offer a few scripts directly from the Bible. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And finally, the command of Jesus in both Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Surely, this part of God's will is for us all. The wise walk is directed. Fourth and finally, the wise walk is dynamic. Verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. You and I cannot live our Christian life and walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called without the strengthening, the empowering, and the controlling of the Holy Spirit. Simply put, we cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot walk in love, in light, and in wisdom without the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We know that all believers receive the Holy Spirit because without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to believe. In Ephesians 1:13 to 14, we read, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So I believe the Holy Spirit indwells in all authentic believers. The issue is the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, the moving of the Spirit of God, and the stirring of the Spirit of God. If you will, in the life of a believer, it is therefore not a matter of being indwelt by the Spirit, but it is the degree to which we allow the Holy Spirit access, control, and movement in our lives. Indeed, when you think about the appointment of what became the first deacons in Acts 6, we read that the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, therefore, brothers, pick out of among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Question: why would the apostles instruct the disciples to look for a characteristics that everyone possesses? You see, what made these men so striking was that they stood out from the others, not because they were inherently or morally better than the others, but because these men, like Stephen, lived in the fullness of the Spirit. Dear friends, I know what I've just described for you is something that some Christians haven't experienced. And my question is, are we going to be content merely to read church history and the powerful movement of God's Spirit upon her? Or are we going to pray to the end that God might make church history through the movement of his Spirit here in St. Mark's. Are we only supposed to read of the infusion of the Holy Spirit in dusty books, or that take us back to previous century? No, says Paul. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Conclusively, Paul has exhorted Christians to walk as those who are wise. He has repeated this command several times, seeking to show what is involved in walking as those who are wise. He has also provided us with those manifestations of the Spirit which bear witness to his presence and control in the life of the Christian. Walking wisely involves conduct, time, decision making, control, and submission. It involves choices and disciplined living. It requires us to have a sense of the times in which we live and a resolve to be good stewards of the opportunity which God gives us in this period of time, which constitutes our earthly dwelling. It seeks to comprehend as fully as possible the plans and purposes of God, and then to subordinate our lives to God's eternal plans and purposes. It means worshiping wisely. Particularly, our music is to communicate to others so that they are edified, and also to communicate to God in grateful worship and praise. It means living sacrificially toward others and seeking their good above our pleasure. The Spirit-filled life is allowing the Word of Christ to richly dwell in us. When we allow the Word of Christ to live in our hearts, the results cannot be helped but be singing, joy, thanksgiving, and submission. Therefore, my blessing to each one of you this morning is be filled, be fully filled with the Holy Spirit, and allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly in Jesus' name. Amen.